Don't let that baby touch me.
David. Football. Football David.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Yeah, don't let that baby touch me. A retelling of a conflict I had 30,000 feet in the sky, or just after landing, I suppose, from 30,000 feet in the sky. That reminds me, go back and listen to the earlier podcast from this week on iTunes or NFL.com/podcast. Gangbuster stuff with Ike Taylor, Maurice Jones-Drew, and the Wolf, Colleen Wolf, Mercedes Lewis as well, joined for a little while. So go check that one out. As always, Gangbuster stuff. And hi and hello and welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program, the second episode, the one that gets you ready for the upcoming week's games. And we are ready to focus in on NFL Week 10 as well as some big college football games, or one in particular here, along with two of our favorites. Let me just say.
What?
I don't know how to say this without it seeming. I talk all the time about lately this thing of cheesy, corny and hammy, you know? And so maybe this sounds a little cheesy, but I feel like the shows that we've done over the course of this NFL season have been gangbusters. I mean, maybe there have been one or two that are like, meh, but I feel like the feedback...
A little corny for my blood.
The feedback I get is grand. It's sublime. People swoon who listen to it. We need more people listening to it, so subscribe. Tell a friend to subscribe. Share it with a friend. You know what?
Hammy,
I'm going to do it. I'm going to steal from Big Cat and PFT Commenter. This is what they do. Here's what you do. You unsubscribe, then subscribe again. Then you tell a friend to do it and do it on there. I don't care. So what? So I'm a bit thief. So what? Not a bit. That's life, baby.
That's production.
This is my career.
It's a hack. It's a ratings hack.
You know what it is?
Everybody does a ratings hack.
I'll tell you exactly what it is. It's Barry Sanders. It's Barry Sanders.
How so?
You know, think about what Barry Sanders did. How did he amass all those yards, right? You know, those long runs. Yeah, squiggling around back there, covering, and all of a sudden,
bang.
And it's like, man, can you believe he ripped off that 35-yard run when they were 3rd and 13? Well, yes, because he took a loss on the first two. It's not as impressive as it really ought to
be. I feel like, yes, while...
He's picking.
He was fantastic. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying.
Like,
pardon my take. I suppose is is sort of a Barry Sanders level podcast.
Totally,
for sure. But then again, the I feel like what you're suggesting is somehow an indictment, and I feel like that's like Joe Flacco's reason for when he's successful. It's like, well, yeah, if you throw enough 60-yard bombs up in the air, and
sooner or later,
someone's going to catch one at some point.
I'm just saying the unsubscribe.
Right.
You're gaming the system, which is fine. It's fine.
Reset.
Listen.
I used to do that on Intellivision bowling all the time. I had the Intellivision growing up, and if my first frame didn't go well, reset. Let's start the game again.
Here for 90 seconds while the game boots. This is going to be great.
Right.
I'm staying very woke, to borrow, you know, a term from PMT and whatever, part of my take, whatever. I'm staying very woke on this one. So many other networks, not ours, not the NFL Network, they're like changing the way they count ratings. They're adding streaming views and little sneaky tricks in here. So if they're going to play, you can certainly unsubscribe and then resubscribe to this podcast. I'm mad.
Shout out. Oh, shout out, by the way.
I'm not swimming in those waters. No chance.
I say shout out to Big Cat and PFT.
Love them. Wow. Love them.
Yeah.
Strong
talk about
love.
Another
strong
network
love.
And their little strife with
I want to go back to your,
I don't know
your.
Let's say hello to everybody.
Wait. I don't want to get away from your Intellivision comment here.
All right.
Because I got just one thing to add, and then we can move on, I promise.
I don't want to move on. I just want to greet you so people know whose voices they're hearing.
Listen, right? if they don't know that voice over there, smooth chocolate voice over there, they just.
Marlboro Man.
Did you ever consider yourself to be awfully clever when you were playing the RBI Baseball or Tecmo Bowl and you were like, oh, my foot just slipped and I kicked an intent. I'm so sorry. I know I was down 14. No, that's. I assumed that I was like the smartest guy in the room. And
did
finally,
this come unplugged?
What a mistake I just made. I know we said this was the playoffs and it's Tecmo Super Bowl, but my foot just hit.
I'm old man. I can trump that with the old school kind of cheating like that. I used to do the move, with my sisters. Let's play Monopoly, you know. But I'll set the game up, and of course it's
underneath the board,
several hundred dollars underneath the board. Somehow I would mid game suddenly be flush with some loot. Where'd that come from? You know,
I'll put two hotels on Park Place. Done and
all
done.
Right. Now let's say hello to them. Two of our favorites here in Studio 66, and they are the hosts. They are the full team here. A Free Money, a.k.a. the lesser name,
Money.
But the one that you should search for when you
Free
go
Money.
On iTunes. It's Game Theory and Money. Let's say hello to her Michigan zone, Cindy's favorite child.
Oh, my own favorite child?
And, I mean, I'm sorry, Mary Ann's favorite child. But
oh, no.
By the way, I hope Mary Ann and you are putting your heads together to cook up a good pie, because we are days away from Pie Off 6. Oh, there's a lot of buzz going on.
Is it next week?
I hate to pull the curtain back. We're going to do it here on Thursday, but then the public does not get to consume it until after we've consumed some pie. They'll consume the results about 3 days later. It airs the week of Thanksgiving. So, Money, we encourage you. Oh, yeah, you can't be here. You're doing your radio show when we're doing the pie off. But
yeah.
You can bring one in and we'll eat it.
Think of me as I'll be working Thanksgiving.
We'll hang
day.
A picture of you up next to your pie.
Please.
As we eat it if you
okay.
want to bring one in. All right, so Pie Off 6 is on the way. But first of all, like I say, let's say hello to her. It's Cindy Freeland, everybody.
That's
enough.
That's enough.
We haven't the time to listen to everybody's theme songs
today. Maybe just a line.
Okay.
Well, maybe just a line.
Of his.
Try it again.
It's Mary Ann's daughter here to steal
okay.
the show.
That's enough.
Yeah.
That's enough.
You know.
That's enough.
Yeah, Rich Banks works hard, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. The one-man house band, unparalleled in making stupid theme songs. Speaking of which,
stupid.
Let's
no.
hear another one right now. He is one half of the finest radio show in all the land. Petros and Money, track it down on iHeartRadio or on 570 AM if you're in Los Angeles. Just finished buzzing about the Dodgers all season long. You can also hear him talking about on the radio his Los Angeles Chargers big trip coming up to Jacksonville this Sunday. It's Matt Money Smith, everybody.
Skinny legs, a golden voice, a play-by-play analyst.
Okay. Enough.
Skinny legs.
That's ridiculous.
If I may,
off after skinny legs going.
If I may, I know it worked last year, so I appeal to your podcasters again today. The day we're recording this.
Yep, you're right.
Thursday
is our 10th. We've done this 10 years now. Our 10th annual Paralyzed Veterans of America Radiothon. In the past 9 years, we've raised $1.2 million.
Yikes! Unbelievable.
So
yeah.
If y'all can help out, that would be great. AM570LASports.com, and you can bid on some really cool things. We have auctions available, but also just straight donations to help out those heroes. Let them know that they are not forgotten as we approach Veterans Day here.
Very nice, Money. Yes, it is an annual radio show to listen to. You and Petros, great stuff there. Listen, people doing great stuff all over the place. Track down Chris Long. I'm not one. I don't one thing I like about, I'm not a religious guy, but one thing I always liked about the faith of Judaism was you're not supposed to be telling people I'm doing charitable stuff. Not that you're in a public position, so obviously you should.
Just looking to raise some money.
Right. But, you know, how much you give, and people tend to brag about how much money they give. But my daughter, I was telling her about Chris Long. She was we were talking about something or other with the Eagles. I don't remember what.
Aww.
And Chris Long, and somehow I said, well, you know what he does, because my daughter and baby Oprah – And Jean-Claude Van Damischek, they liked to, about like 3 months ago, I was very proud, they said, let's make, because they see the homeless people, you know, that's in Los Angeles, when you get off the freeways, you generally will see a homeless person standing there looking for somebody. They said, can we get them food? Can we give them food? And so we made all these bags of water and all these foods and stuff, and they loved to drive around in the car and hand them out to homeless people, and it's really nice. And baby Oprah was made aware of this and of Chris Long's Water Boys, and she wanted to give money to it. So she gave $10. So that
really
I will brag on her
Oprah
giving
like
$10.
Ways. Her Oprah-like ways? Like, she's
$10 I mean,
for
I don't,
you.
Yes.
$10
no.
for you.
Right, that's exactly right.
Right.
That's how we do it. Yeah,
that's
it's
amazing.
Like, don't, I will tell you about what you need to know about the world of sports. Oprah will do the rest of the parenting. And so we just sit her in front of a TV.
It's effective.
And so far it's yielding results.
How many years until baby Oprah is, like, you know, fully better than you? Like,
already.
Like,
it's that happened
eight and a half years ago.
Yeah.
I think about when she could form sentences. I think she exceeded me. All right. Hey, before we jump into NFL games and all of that,
What to start with? What, you know what? Dealer's choice here, Matt Moneysmith. Do you want to do a college football pick? Do you want to do the songs that you would listen to if you were a pro football player in advance of a game? Or do you want to hear a fun voicemail from behind the glass from Kent Brown's mom? She's a Pittsburgher. Said, Dave, Kent Brown. Kent Brown's from Burke. He's from DeBerg.
How do I say no to that? How do I say no to that?
I just want everybody to hear because I sometimes fall into the Pittsburgh accent, and people say, you have such a terrible Pittsburgh accent. And I say, in fact, I don't. I didn't want to have one, so I forced myself to not have it, and instead I wound up with this stupid accent. But here is classic. Kent
classic
played
Pittsburgh.
This for me. I just want you to hear how that sounds and how nostalgic and sentimental it makes me when I hear someone talking like this.
Hey, Kent. Yeah, it's 1:30 my time. Justine's picking me up about 1:45.
Hey.
We're going to go see that Tyler Perry movie, that Maybe. Halloween Boo.
Boo.
That's going to be funny. And then we're going to eat up at Flex Bar. And Wade's not coming home after school.
You're not coming home?
He's going golfing with Mike. He's picking up Mike to Caesar. So I just wanted to call in case you tried to call here. All right, I'll talk to you tonight. I'll probably watch Bill Maher. All right. Love you. Bye-bye.
Bill
Love
Maher.
You, hon. We're going to go see that movie.
Bill Maher.
It'll be good. It's called Boo. I mean, it's going to be good, dude.
Halloween Boo. Halloween Boo.
That's the best. Yeah. That's Mo Damashek has that accent. Yeah, my grandparents, everybody. I love it.
Yeah, good old Susie Brown from Duquesne, Pennsylvania, home of Kennywood Amusement Park. And also, when you see her voicemail, it says Turtle Creek, PA. That's where your parents reside.
Turtle Creek. Yeah,
right,
that's
down the road.
Yeah, they live down the road from there.
Turtle Creek.
Turtle Creek's right down the road, right next to Wilmerding, dude. You go over there. Johnny's has the best pork chops in three counties.
What a terrible accent.
That's where I went to elementary school, Wilmerding Westinghouse Elementary. Here's a little bonus trivia for you guys.
Bonus.
Turtle Creek, PA, the hometown of Leon Hart, the 1949 Heisman winner. The only lineman to ever win three NFL championships and three college championships. But here's trivia. He's one of three NFL players in history to be national champion, Heisman winner, and then the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. Another one's Angelo Bertelli, also a Notre Dame guy. The third is currently in the NFL. Who's that third player?
Oh, really? Wait, I see. I was going to say it's Tony Dorsett. No, he wasn't first overall
Heisman?
In 76.
Won the Heisman and has won a national championship.
Wait a second.
Within a 12-month span.
Oh.
You have to win the title, win the Heisman, and then be the number one overall pick.
Oh, number one
but
overall
just
pick.
But just to be clear, Dorsett was not the number one pick in 76. Oh, you know who was Ricky Bell. Ricky Bell from USC went to Tampa. Dorsett in the greatest heist including the Herschel Walker deal. People always swoon over the Jimmy Johnson and how transformational that was. Go back and look at the heist. Gil Brandt ripped off the poor Seattle Seahawks to get the best running back in the land, Tony Dorsett, back in 76. But anyway.
Current player. There's one other. So it's Bertelli, Hart, both Notre Dame guys, and then one current player that has done this.
Won the national championship and won the Heisman.
And won the Super Bowl that same year.
No, and that was the number
one Cam Newton.
Pick.
Oh, a number one pick. It's who?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Cam Newton. Oh, see, that's where I was thrown off. I thought they won the Super Bowl. That's what I was like, that just does not work for me. I gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good trivia question there.
Way to go.
Kent Brown's also, he's performed this trick in the past for us. He's got a bizarre skill. I guess you could call it a skill. It's a useless skill, though.
I love useless skills.
He can tell you where everybody went to high school. Anybody who is in football, he can tell you where they went to high school. Do some Pitt specifics. You know all your guys. He went to the U as well. Big game for you.
Ooh.
Big one this week. Oh, boy.
Definitely a big one. Notre Dame and Miami, a classic old rivalry now going down there. You mean Pittsburgh? Where guys from Pittsburgh went to high school?
Yeah,
Curtis Martin, Alderdice, Tony Dorsett. I'll stick with that pronunciation. Hopewell, you throw in.
I didn't ask you to do it now.
Okay.
What was the first high school? Alderdice.
Yeah,
Alderdice.
Dude, a lot of good guys. A lot of my chums went to Alderdice. Right. So let's let
Brilliant.
Kent Brown have the floor here. Go ahead. Tell us. Who you picking in Saturday night's game?
Well, we know who he's picking.
Well, no, I think he's
Is he? Is he fair and balanced?
I'm torn, though, in that I grew up a diehard Notre Dame fan as well.
You're Catholic?
How does one do that? Oh, because you went to the U.
Yeah, and I'm just a big Miami fan, Notre Dame guy as well. I think Notre Dame wins the game. I think they're going to run the football well. They'll wear Miami down. Miami is a better passing team than Notre Dame, but the issue is, can they hold up for four quarters? Money can attest to this. Notre Dame's been running on everybody not named Georgia. I don't think that Miami's going to stop them through four quarters. I'll say Notre Dame wins by 8 points, somewhere in that vicinity.
I mean, they're banged up. You know, Wimbush got hurt, and Adams, I think they said Adams will be back, and he's close to being full strength for this one. I thought Virginia Tech was going to beat up Miami. I really did. I was as floored. But, you know, it was a weird game, though. You know, it's not like the Miami offense was that great. I mean, that should have been a blowout based on what their defense was doing. What did he throw, three picks in that game? You do that against Notre Dame, and you're done.
Exactly.
I mean, you are done. That's like a three-touchdown game. Notre Dame's the better team. The interesting thing, though, is Miami can lose this game and still make the playoff. You know, they'll still end up in the ACC championship game. And if they beat Clemson and they're a one-loss team, they'll rep the ACC. Notre Dame cannot lose
this game.
No, this is it for them. Because after this, they still have Stanford
and Navy.
So there you go. So you got to deal with a triple option in Navy. Bryce Love. Stanford's not that good.
Has a two-loss team gotten into the Final Four yet?
No.
We haven't seen that.
Penn State was the closest last year. They were the five, but they didn't get in. So far, we haven't had any two-loss team, or we haven't had two teams from the same conference.
So how's it shaping up right now? The winner of this game goes. We know that. Or,
Most likely the winner of this game's going to go.
Big Ten is the one that's lit. Wisconsin.
If Miami wins and then loses to Clemson, they could still not go.
Right.
That's true.
You're
right. Miami would be out if they lost it. What I'm saying is they could lose game, have
they
one loss,
still,
beat Clemson,
beat
and go.
Clemson.
Right.
Right. But then
Notre Dame, and their one loss is Georgia by 1 point. I mean, and we know Georgia and Alabama are on this, you know, collision course for the SEC championship. The interesting thing will be if that's a close game, do both of those teams
I was just going to say, here's what's going to happen. Because
the
SEC bias continues to, even though other conferences have risen up. I mean, like we've talked about. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. Yes, the SEC still has some good teams in it, but let's not get crazy with the depth of it.
It's a down year for the conference.
Well, last year was too. It's top heavy at minimum, but I do think that as long as both those teams run the table aside from each other, Georgia,
it'll be hard to
keep
out.
Unless Wisconsin has to win out.
They go undefeated into the Big Ten championship game, and let's say they face a one-loss Ohio State game, or now they're two losses. So let's say it's a one-loss, whatever, Michigan State team. What do we have? We have Michigan State.
Two losses as well.
So Wisconsin. Two losses as well. Yeah. I guess it's only Wisconsin. That's right.
Wisconsin's schedule is not going to help them. I mean, they're winning a ton, but they're not playing anyone. They're on the wrong side of the Big Ten.
So who's they going to beat? Georgia, Bama? Because that is how it's going to wind up. Those two teams are going to win
the Pac-12 probably isn't going to get somebody.
Washington's their only hope, and even – realistically, their out-of-conference schedule was so bad.
Yeah, I think they would squeeze them out in favor of
Georgia. Notre Dame or Miami, it likely to go.
It could very well be. If Miami loses to Notre Dame but then beats Clemson, or maybe vice versa, Miami wins out and then loses to Clemson, you could, if the Big 12 cannibalizes itself and beats each other up.
See, I think the Big 12 gets one. I think Oklahoma gets in.
I forgot the
Because Baker Mayfield's going to win the Heisman. I think they'll end up beating TCU this week. It was an assault on college football as we know it last week in Bedlam. What happened in that game? It was atrocious. It was fun, but
6,000 points were scored.
Yeah, I mean, as we said, going into that one, I felt like that was the Baker Mayfield for Heisman campaign officially gets kicked into full gear, and I think that actually happened.
But just a bit, so Pitt can't go. They're not getting in this year.
Nor can the Hoosiers.
Neither one.
Pitt can't go.
Panthers out.
And Penn State's not making it either.
For the record, Kent Brown, for somebody who loves to position himself as such a diehard for his teams, dude, I love the U. The U's my school. I love Calais. You know, I used to hang out with Calais all the time. I could text him right now, dude. By the way, why don't you text Calais and tell him to call into this show? Why don't you use your powers for good?
So if I see him on the field and I say, you know, Kent Brown and I, we're like this.
Yes.
That's gonna fly?
Yeah.
Okay.
That is true. He knows.
No, it's fine. I'm asking. Because I like to walk down on the field in pregame
Are you the Kent, if money goes up to him and says, I'm going to give you a first name, you give me the first last name that comes into your head. Kent? Will he say Brown?
I would hope so. I wouldn't think he's like, there's another Kent that's been that influential in his life. So I would think I'm the Kent.
So I say Kent, and he says, Brown.
I think so, yeah, and his very deep voice. Yes. Funny story, when I was a freshman in college, me and my roommate, I'll give
we'll
him
be
a
the
shout
judge
out,
of that.
Tony Salerno, an ardent listener to this podcast.
Hi, Tony.
We needed our refrigerator out of our dorm room freshman year. We're like trying to muscle it, pick it up. Kalea
ate it.
With my brother, he just lifts it up, puts it right in the bin, and we're just like, okay, he just saved us 30 minutes of trying to get that done.
Calais just picked it up and then threw it through the wall into the suite so we didn't have to worry about it.
But I will say, Kent, you do like the dude, I love the Steelers. I love Pitt. I love the U. I love my Notre Dame still. If you were that loyal to your rooting interest in Notre Dame, you would have ruled out the U. You would never have. I said that.
I wasn't alive for any of that.
I like Pitt. I like Pitt football so much. I said, well, there's not – like, well, you're going to apply to Penn State surely, right?
You realize
no chance. I've never been to Happy Valley, and with any luck, I'll never have to go there. Well, that's how deep my loyalty runs.
In my entire life until 2010, Notre Dame hadn't played Miami except for when I was a baby, so that wasn't that relevant to me. And also, I grew up hating Florida State, and Miami was always their biggest rival, so I liked the Canes growing up. My brother went there, played there with Calais and all those guys, and I became a Hurricanes fan through that. But Notre Dame and Miami, to me, wasn't the big rivalry in the 90s. They never played.
Boy,
that's right. It was Notre Dame BC for him.
Now you win, because now you've made me feel old. I hope you're happy with yourself. I do
the
remember.
Old man.
I remember all those U Notre Dame.
Oh, yeah. That's why I love the U, because my older brother loved Notre Dame. So,
is that right?
Yeah, I just started rooting for the U. I was wearing my Sebastian the Ibis T-shirt all around. I was like 11 years old. Hey, Kevin, look what I get on. You're going to wear it this week. You know, rolling around, and that was that. Next thing you know, I'm like, really? I cheered for these guys?
And
this
is
the team that I picked.
I have a good buddy this week that's going to be selling shirts outside the stadium, Miami guy. Turnover chain, which is their new thing they're doing when they force turnovers, and instead of Catholics versus convicts, turnover chain versus rosary. Mm. Pretty good.
Not bad.
Nice. All right.
That's not all bad.
Right. Hey, Ken Brown, let's get
to it. A little blasphemous,
it.
But whatever, you know?
Well, the whole thing is, Catholics versus convicts. That's...
I think that could fly in 2017.
Yeah, that's terrific. All right, Ken Brown, you know what? Take it away. You've got the microphone. Let's do a game show.
Here's our surprise game show, and staying on this topic.
Hold on a second. Two things. First of all, I love the potential game show hosts that we've assembled here on the show. For all of her virtues, as we said last week, Emma VP being a game show host is a funny notion. Now we have Kent Brown, Pittsburgher.
Dave, okay, Parker, everybody.
Let's do a game show, dudes. Come on, let's do it. The price is going to be right here, I think. $10,000 pyramid.
Speaking of...
Then we'll
of,
go see Boo. Speaking it should be of funny.
Halloween Boo.
All of our talk here. My question here, it's pretty simple. Notre Dame plays Miami this week. They've had a ton of NFL talent. Name the current players in the NFL that went to Miami or Notre Dame. And bonus point.
Who's
the only person in the NFL?
Juan.
You can start it off that actually went to both.
Bonus.
Notre Dame and...
We'll discuss that after. Let's start it off.
It's not okay. Randy Moss.
It's not Fasano, right. Is it?
Can I start? Can I start?
Sure.
Golden Tate.
Oh, okay. Zach Martin.
I mean, I'm going to drop a name here. Calais Campbell.
Nice. I'm going to go with Kyle Rudolph.
Okay. I'll go Denzel Perryman.
Frank Gore.
Tyler Eifert.
Rayshon Jenkins.
Nobody said Michael Floyd, did they?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Oh, David Njoku.
Okay.
I snapped at it, too.
Theo Riddick.
Boy, I would have been in a lot of trouble here. This is what happens in this game when people start naming the guy. If you have one holstered and that person takes it from you, you're stuck.
You're screwed.
Nobody took Deshaun Kizer yet, though.
Mm-mm.
Okay, so
three.
I'm going to go with CJ Procise.
James Onwuolu.
Jeez Louise.
Artie Burns. Why am I getting half bells? I want full bell. Give me full bell.
Wait, why?
More
did you,
cowbell.
Why did you only get half bell?
I don't know why, because Emma VP and Kent Brown are conspiring.
Will Fuller.
Take me down.
Will Fuller.
Good one. Travis Benjamin.
I hate to say, like, the one.
Brad Kaya. He's back in
oh,
the league.
Well,
wow, that's lucky.
He re-signed.
Jimmy Graham.
Ooh. Oh, good one. Oh, God, I'm so stuck now.
I have a great story about Mary.
Greg Olson.
Ah, I just have that one. Greg Olson.
Greg Olson's the one who started his career.
Oh, yeah,
Notre Dame.
That's right.
Miami.
I thought it was a tight end.
You guys should talk about that for a while. Why don't you talk about Greg Olson for the last
time to pick, Shaq.
I only have one.
Don't tell me what I have to do. I have things I'm thinking about right now. I'm working on something over here. Wait a second.
Five.
Don't you count nothing on me. I'll do it when I'm ready.
Oh, I got one.
Two.
No, I don't.
Time to pick, Shaq.
Carlos Huerta.
Good kicker, though.
Thank God. I didn't want to be the one to lose. I think I was out.
Duke Johnson?
Duke Johnson from Miami. Oh, Manti Te'o.
Oh, shoot.
Now I'm done. I forfeit. You win, Cynthia.
Don't you forfeit.
All right, fine. Go.
Inside. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Let's think.
Got to be a kicker or a punter somewhere, right?
I think I'm out. I don't think I got it. I'm trying to.
Okay. La, 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 la.
Yeah, mad if I
15 seconds.
15 I'm seconds, out. My God.
The only person I can think of is Tim Sharkey, is Jeremy Sharkey. My mom calls him Tim Sharkey. But apart from that, he's not in the league anymore.
Brady Quinn out of the league?
Four.
Yeah, yes. He's out of the league.
He's announcing. He announced Michigan State beating Penn State last week.
League.
5 seconds.
Terry Hanratty?
Nope. Three, two.
Rocky Blyer.
I think it's a tie here. Did Dorsett go to Miami?
There we go.
Oh.
I love Dorsey. Money steals it right in the end.
Look, I'm just glad to finish second.
That was the stealthiest little win I've ever seen. Oh, yeah, by the way, yeah.
That was good.
Who did we – how many – were there a lot of –
Oh, and I guess I never really said Fasano, did I, officially?
No, not officially.
So.
I mean, there's so many guys.
I thought you said that one, but yeah.
I mean, you can go in terms of Notre Dame, you have – You mentioned Zach Martin, his brother Nick Martin from the Texans. You also have Harrison Smith, one of the best.
Safety.
I talked about him.
Yeah, that's right.
Jalen.
Oh, my gosh. Jalen.
Ronnie Stanley, who was a top pick a few years.
I'm going to get in trouble.
O-lineman.
I'm going to get in trouble for not
That's what I was doing. I was trying to think Notre Dame O-lineman.
And then for Miami's sake, going through this, I mean, in terms of players and punters, Matt Boscher is a punter that's still in the
not
league.
Not helpful.
You throw in Eric Winston still hanging on. Olivier Vernon is a big Miami guy.
Yeah, Eric Winston just re-signed.
Eric Swope, the former basketball player, went to Harvard Westlake up the road here. Denzel Perryman.
Yeah, he did.
We got him.
Perryman was on there. Lamar Miller. No,
Lamar Miller. There you go.
So those are just a few others.
Good stuff.
Combined, they have 76 players in the league.
So we did really poorly.
76 active players
like
in the
four
league.
Rounds.
I think we did well. And easy to say, how can these dummies have missed whoever, Harrison Smith? But there's something about it. When you,
like,
when
you
get
your friends without.
Because the game, the trick to this game is that you have to come up, you have to keep adding to it. Because if you settle on like, oh, I'm good, I'm ready, I got one that they're not going to come up with. Because as soon as somebody says it, then you're jammed.
I was like going by
like the Greg Olson.
Right. Like I knew as soon as I dropped, you know what I mean? Like once I started tight ends, he'd get the other one.
I should have gotten
Ronnie
Stanley.
Oh, look at that. I could have cheated, by the way. I could have I have my Jaguars stats up for the game. Turns out Allen Hurns, Miami.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. I did not know that.
Allen Hurns went to that's Allen Robinson. Played at Penn State with.
Yeah, Allen Hurns, Miami. Yeah. Didn't know that.
All right. So what
good
do you
stuff.
Want to do now, MVP?
That was some good football conversation, right?
That was
sportsing it up.
Do you want to go into Red Challenge flag picks, or do you want to talk a little music first, Emma?
We can talk a little music.
All right, then let's start with you, Cindy. I want to do – Money is a music wizard. You know,
he's a music wizard.
You know, his former life was –
He's a wizard in many areas.
I was an employee.
I'll get too crazy. He's already got a big head.
I do.
I'm the voice of the Chargers, as have you heard.
You know, I've got my Jacksonville board open
now. I'm
going
to jump on a flight to get out to the Sunshine State. I don't know if I've mentioned it before, but I'm going to be calling the action.
I'll play a little game
with you. On Sunday.
I, uh, you know, we get Saturday. I do a couple interviews for the broadcast, hang out with the players a little bit. But for the most part, that day when we travel on Friday is wide open. So I decide to look up a little TPC Sawgrass, the Players Club.
Ooh.
Maybe go play the Island Green there at the 17. They've got an open tee time. I'm about to book it. And then I see how much it's going to cost me. How much do you think a round at TPC Sawgrass costs?
I don't know. Those numbers are so gargantuan now, so much exponentially bigger than what they were. Because I remember hearing as a kid that Northwestern is super expensive, and it's $40,000 a year. I was sitting somewhere earlier this week, and two dads were talking about, our oldest is going to Pepperdine, and $75,000.
He's coming after our schools.
I thankfully got a scholarship, but $21,000 a year is what Pepperdine.
And that was a lot.
In 1991.
And that's all.
It was a boatload of cash. I didn't think I was going to be able to go, and thankfully worked out. But
So those kind of numbers.
And now it's like $75,000.
Yeah, are so crazy. It's even hard. I remember hearing that Pebble Beach when I was a kid, it was like, oh, it's like 150 a loop, you know.
Exactly.
So it's not $150. It's more than that.
$580.
Woo!
for 18 holes. Guess what I'm doing instead? Jacksonville University versus Stetson, the Hatters, FCS football.
That's not somebody who claims to like sports. That's somebody who actually likes sports.
Is there a better mascot battle than the Dolphins versus the Hatters of Stetson University?
Are they going to have a mascot fight?
I don't know.
I don't know if I need
If they do,
see.
I'll video it.
please do. How much for just one hole, though? Like, can I go
to the 17?
Can you do the Chris Rock bit? How much for just one hole? One swing. Let me have one
swing. Pull my hands for a dime. I would love to just get one swing on the 17th. That
you don't go to Carolina, do you?
I don't.
Okay, because I was going to say, I bet you Art Freeland would take you out around to
that would be
hang
something.
Out.
How long is what is the distance?
It's far. It's like going to New York, basically.
No. I'm sorry. How long?
Oh, 135. 135 yards.
135 to the island
It should be nothing. 135 to the center.
Championship tees, 135.
Yep.
That's all it is, and they throw it in the drink as often as they do.
I'd use pitching wedge.
Pitching wedge?
Yeah.
I'd need like a 5-iron.
Wait a second.
Yeah, Matt Money
Smith.
Isn't
it crazy?
You hit that big? You go wedge from 135?
I do, yeah.
He knows his angles, right?
I'm a big hitter.
Is that generally true? That's what you're known for out there?
Yeah, I can hit the ball a long way. I just unfortunately can't hit it as straight as I'd like to all the time.
I'm like straight and annoyingly short.
Nothing wrong with that. I'd rather have that.
But it's like so boring.
Yeah.
My one hole in one in life was from, I think, 137 or something like that. I went 8-iron.
You got a hole in one? I have none. I have zero hole in ones in my life, sadly.
I'm a weakling.
You're a big winner.
My old man always taught me, though, that's how you get inside the big hitter's head. Just keep it straight and be great from 50 yards.
Oh, yeah. It drives you nuts.
That's what I can do, but it's, like, super boring, and all I want to do is just hit it, like, super hard, and it never
Guy's 50 yards past you off the tee. Like, I got this guy. This guy's in trouble. Like, I'm on in two. What's this guy going to do? Like, he just got up and down. Oh,
no, chips up within 3 feet.
No, I got to make the putt.
Yeah.
That does psych out people. All right, what do we want to do now? Oh, we were going to do music. Sorry, that's how we got into this. Cindy, so I feel like I want to settle on a different categories that we can address with you and Matt Money Smith here.
Yep.
And do things like, you know, the albums that you're taking to a beach. But I feel like that's too big a place to start, you know, if you're stuck on a stranded island for the rest of your life and you have to listen to these five albums on a loop and they're never going to get turned off.
Right.
They're only
– Desert Island Discs, man. That's what we got, Desert Island Discs.
Isn't that
like classic rock, right? It's like a classic.
Hey, I'm Matt Money Smith from the radio, and I'm here to present you KTEL's new library.
Three disc set, Desert Island Disc.
You'll get all the classics. What are good categories for this? What should we do? MVP?
Baseball walk-up song.
Baseball – well, I've addressed this one before. Go ahead. What's your baseball walk-up? So this is now – this is ubiquitous in MLB now? I remember the Dodgers doing it for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Every team now has this. Yep. So when you step into the batter's box, what your music is?
Vibrant Thing by Q-Tip.
Ooh, Q-Tip. I don't know Vibrant Thing, though.
It's got a great little catchy –
little beat.
Mm-hmm. Also, if I ever had a swimsuit line, it would be what the girls would wear as they were, you know, on the catwalk.
Did I tell
Works
you?
Works for both.
Have I told you yet? Mo Damashek is in
Big town. Q-Tip fan?
She loves – well, she's more old school Tribe. She's like, Q-Tip, you know, Q-Tip's all right now, but, you know, really –
Love Tribe.
Yeah, you know, she's like Midnight Marauders. You ain't going to exceed,
she knows.
You know, that one. But she made a random comment to me the other night, and she said, this is weird for me to be the one saying this, but I watched Pick'em last week. Oh, by the way, NFL Pick'em.
I love NFL Pick'em. It's my favorite
NFL Pick'em coming at you on Saturday at 8 a.m. Eastern.
Oh, here we go.
It comes up at 3 p.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Eastern.
And
then again, 6 a.m. Sunday morning.
Who's
that's
for
the for the night owls and the early birds.
See how that works?
Also great on the DVR.
Also, yeah, DVR it each time and watch it and
each
then
time.
Cancel it and then
re-record it.
But Mo Damashek, so we were talking about it, and she said, it's a little weird for me to say, but boy, that Cynthia Freeland has a great body.
Where can I send my check? Where do I send her the check for?
Oh, because you're always showing off your physical attributes and your flexibility on the pick 'em. Yeah.
Yep.
Then she went too far. Then she decided to try and embarrass Dave on this week's, a little spoiler alert. She challenged me to do sit-ups. I refused. I have dignity. I'm not going to be doing sit-ups in front of people.
Sit-ups, huh? I would love to see
that's what she did.
Dave's sit-ups. Legs like lift in the air, and then he's going to rock it. That's one.
I do push-ups on my knees.
Yeah.
Do those kind. Like, I'm doing them.
Right. What's wrong with this?
All right. So today's category is walk-up
that's what
music
we're doing?
For
baseball?
I don't know that Q-Tip song. So all
You'll
right.
You'll have to download it. It's really good.
Mile Money thinks about his. This is one I offered up to
Cardi
longtime
B.
Dodger Andre Ethier, and he liked this. He said he would try it, but he never has. Then I told Nomar Garciaparra to try it when he was with the Dodgers. He loved it, but he said he couldn't do it. So at least he was honest with me.
Okay, what do you got?
I say you go James Blunt's You're Beautiful. You're beautiful. Because think about the scene now. Think about you step into the batter's box and, like, then the pitcher's out there, this burly fella ready to mow you down. You're the next one for him to strike out. And all of a sudden, they're like, you know, like, wait, hold time there, ump. I want to just lock eyes with the pitcher, like, I saw you with another man. You start lip syncing at him like, you're
gamesmanship.
See, now he's got to put one in your ear, you know? Now he's going to walk you. Hey, I'll take my base. Hey, clubhouse, you see what I just did for you? I'm on base. Move me along now. You see, that's how you get it done.
The game within the game. That's the difference with you, Sheck.
When I went to a Chargers game earlier this year.
Saw you with another man.
I kind of have a bone to pick because they did put, you know, that home song. You know
Phillips.
Not alone.
Ah,
yeah. Yeah. The cheerleaders cheered to that.
I don't even know that
strangest
song,
cheer. Strangest. It's too slow. It's not very peppy. It could have been.
I don't know. It is kind of peppy.
You know
you're not alone.
It's too slow.
You're going to find your way back home. It's
not.
I don't know that one.
No. Do not cheer to that song. I don't like it.
You're old school with your cheerleading songs.
That's
a list for another show.
She wants beats.
Another show is
big
for
beats.
You to do the ones that are appropriate for cheerleaders.
It's like very slow, and the pom-pom, it just doesn't work.
Seven Army Nation, that's another one.
Too
we
much.
We should make
Overdone.
Our list of songs that bands and
need to
student
stop
bodies should stop, and that is one.
Yes,
that I agree.
They are no longer releasing arena rock CDs. So
Sweet
let's stop
Caroline. Let's leave it to Fenway. And where's your sense of creativity and ambition and originality? You can't do
theirs,
Sweet
they
Caroline.
Can have it.
They got it. Now that's it. No more. It's an annoyance already.
Agreed.
Money, go ahead.
Walk-up song?
Yep.
Ghostbusters.
That's a good
idea. Right? Because I just love the idea when they say, when there's something strange in the neighborhood. And this is the key. When they say, who are you going to call? Everybody in the stadium.
Bad Money!
Everybody in the stand screams Ghostbusters. And everyone's confused. What the hell is going on here? And it's July, and we're playing Ghostbusters. I love it.
Very weird. And yes, again, what's that going to do? It's going to throw the pitcher off kilter.
Off-putting.
What gives here? Right. Yep. Clever. Very clever. All right. Let's sing now, shall we? Another song. It's called The Red Challenge Flag Picks.
Red Challenge Black Picks.
Hey.
Another one.
Hello.
That was for Hank.
Hank's mom.
Where's Henry's voice? The song's not the same without his brilliant additions.
Hey. We need the red challenge flags, though, in order to make the picks. And
where are the
right
red
on cue flags? As people start doing demeaning regional accents, in walks.
There he comes.
Eddie Spaghetti.
Thank you.
What's the poop there, Spaghetti? He can't talk. He's running out there.
What's
right
the
out of here.
He's What's gonna the do, poop?
I think he had the. I think he just got coffee with Ratio Roots Alignin. Raise your roots aligning and Barry Beck protecting the blue line in front of Eddie Mio. No better defense in the league circa 1985. Boom.
Eddie Spaghetti was not born in 1985.
Yeah, that's probably true.
But you know what was going on in 85, Hostetler? That's what was going on.
Who you want, Sims? No, we got Hostetler for
you. I'll pick them all day.
Trick question. Sophie's choice. You lose either way, baby. Big Tuna knew what the score was. Hey, can we – we can't do it, right? All of a sudden now I mentioned the Big Tuna. Fascinating matchup between the Niners and Giants coming up here this weekend. A once proud rivalry.
Oh, the 80s. The 80s Niners Giants rivalry. Now that was something. Hey,
and
now.
The Bears.
And the well, yeah, it was a three-way. And the Redskins were in there.
Oh, yeah.
So it was kind of a.
I always denigrate. I marginalize as a Steelers fan. The reason I will hold up the Steelers of the 70s as the greatest rivalry is because of the level of competition, what they had to go through in January to win it. The great Dallas Cowboys, Roger Staubach, and, you know, Houston Oilers, and the great Oakland Raiders, and the great Miami Dolphins, and so on. But, you know, as we get away from it, that's exactly right. The Giants
were
for real.
The NFC was nasty.
Although they weren't that formidable, the Giants on offense. They were never really a frightening offense to confront. But the Joe Gibbs skins were always relevant, and the Bears
obviously the Niners. Yeah.
But then again, all those teams, what they had in common is dominant defense, and the Niners offset that with Bill Walsh's West Coast offense. So I stand by my opinion. The competition was still more severe for the Steelers to go through.
Don't think we were changing that opinion anyway.
I listen. I'm an open-minded person. All right, so let's get to it, MVP, and let's talk about some games this week. As usual, we will ask one person to name the winner, and then if anyone wants to refute that game pick, they'll throw the red challenge flag. Tell us first, MVP, about the Chargers and the Jags.
All right, this week's theme is teen dramas. We have an episode of One Tree Phil.
Oh, yes.
All smiles by the lockers. Leonard Fournette can't wait to celebrate being ungrounded by old man Coughlin by inviting literally everyone to his pool party with a sweet view. Nick Novak asks Philip Rivers to sit with them on the bench, but the QB1 politely declines, as even he won't tarnish his reputation by being seen with a bunch of dweebs on the kicking unit.
A bunch of dweebs.
Good stuff. The pool party in Jacksonville. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, all the way through. And I'm glad that you didn't wait on old man whatever. Like, got to get if we're doing teen dramas, the old man Coughlin is good stuff. Yes, listen, this is a fascinating game on any number of levels. Let's start with the thing that I noticed around week 5, and it's weirdly continuing to be true, is the Jags roller coaster that they have won every odd week game, and they have lost it. Why do you roll eyes at that? Because that's not an actual statistic?
It's not an actual statistic.
It's weird. That's why it's weird.
That's why it's so relevant.
I didn't say it's relevant.
It's
I said
oddity.
It's a weird
it
thing.
It is an oddity.
It is weird.
It's kind of cool.
Listen, I'm not like some person who believes in ghosts. And all that kind of stuff, but it's still worth mentioning that it's a weird little trend. And you have the.
Do you ever watch One Tree Hill?
Never watched it.
Okay. No. Well, I watched.
Although I know that the
it's about the, basketball.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I know that the one guy in
Chad Michael Murray.
Yes, that's the one. Would always be in my gym, and he would.
Oh,
run,
I thought you were going to say
run
your
miles
dreams.
Next to me on the.
Oh, interesting.
On the treadmill, yeah, handsome devil.
Yeah, he wasn't my favorite.
He wasn't.
No, I wasn't.
No, I've never seen the One Tree Hill.
Oh, okay.
Now.
You have the Chargers, who were playing very well and continued to more or less play well, I guess, up in Foxborough in spite of the final score. Last we saw them before they went on the bye. This is a big one for them because while they did kind of turn things around. Let's remember how we got to the halfway point in the season with the Chargers. It starts with Koo missing those two kicks. This team should really be 5-3 and right in the mix, not just for the division, but we could really be talking about, while this set of things break a little.
Home game, it's step up might, center in the playoffs.
They might get a bye if things go right
the
for
Dolphins them. The
Dolphins
game's going to come back to haunt them. That's the one. I mean, you know.
Maybe.
It's at zero. And you miss a 44-yarder. You push it right. 4-4 is, I think, a lot different than 3-5. I think 9-7 is going to get in. I think we're going to get one 9-7 team in the AFC because you see the way the schedule lays out, and there's going to be a lot of cannibalization at the back end of this schedule.
So the schedule right now, actually, Thursday before the Thursday night game, obviously AFC won't change. The AFC, there's only 7 teams that are 500 or better as of right now, whereas in the NFC, it's 12. 12 teams are.
Do you see an under 500 team, the Raiders, the Chargers, or otherwise, that gets into January? Ravens, perhaps?
I do not think that happens. However, if you look at the people at the top of the division, the AFC, okay, so I'm only talking about the AFC. This could happen on the NFC. But on the AFC, you've got the people, like Steelers, their schedule is rad going forward. You should be very happy. In fact, Money and I look to see, like, you might be right with your projection, which is going to annoy the crap out of me. But apart from that, if you look at...
I don't know I'm curious.
Fly right by that.
I'm curious why it would annoy the crap out of you. Wouldn't you like to pat a colleague on the back and say, well done, sir, you're on a hot streak here, 6 straight years. I guess there's no nonsense going on here. Damashek knows his stuff. I'm proud to work alongside of him.
That's what I said.
Predicting the Steelers' record, a nominee for most overused Sheck bit.
Look,
well,
Sheck,
if it's a bit, it's funny because it's true.
You know that I love you, Sheck, and you know that I love working with you, but that is annoying.
Why?
It just
That's
is.
A great streak. Because it's a prodigious streak, and if I take it to 6 years on 13-3,
good
especially
job.
Given the noise that you all made when I announced 13,
and they got trounced by the Jags.
The aforementioned
Jaguars that we're discussing right now.
Just one more. I mean, look, I want the Steelers to, like, my projections say that they're going to have a great rest of the season. They have the best odds of making the Super Bowl of anyone in the AFC.
Well,
but
all of a sudden the Texas game doesn't loom so scary, but I have started to go through the second half of the schedule and circling the big games. Chargers Raiders on Christmas night could be huge, or
on New Year's Eve.
On New Year, could be huge, or
even
it could
better.
Be
I hate New Year's Eve.
Could be irrelevant. So but I can see that one absolutely having import for January.
You mentioned I know it off the top of my head. The way their schedule lays out, right? They've got 4 home games, 4 road games. Their 4 home games, Bills. Raiders, you mentioned, on New Year's Eve, and in between those two, you get the Browns at home and the beat-to-heck Redskins. So you'd say the home schedule looks pretty darn good. It breaks in the Chargers' favor. That gets you to 7 wins, and they have 4 road games, Jaguars, Cowboys, Chiefs, and Jets. All you got to do is win 2 of those. You know, if the projection, and by projection, I mean whatever I've worked out in my head that a 9-7 team gets in is right – that's why the Jags is huge. I mean, the Jags is a huge game for them.
If they take care of the Bills, the rest of those home games, well, I mean, the head-to-head with the Raiders probably is the biggest one on the home slate. But if they can win those games, 10 wins is what I'm going to go with.
So 5-1 to close the season, or they would go 7-1 to close the season, 10-6.
I can see that. I can definitely see that.
That means they got to win one of the two on the road between the Chiefs and Cowboys.
By the way, though, the Chiefs, do we think that this is a little midseason swoon and they get back to where they were? Which, that's actually a good question here, as they sit at their bye there, Cindy. Which direction does this Chiefs team go?
I think that they go flat. I don't think they're getting worse or they're getting better. I think, I mean, look, you saw some interesting things like the lack of use of Kareem Hunt last game. You saw a little bit difference with their defense. The point is every team, it's very hard, just as hard it is to go 0-16, hard to go 16.
What are they? They're 6-3.
Right.
Yeah, so they're 6-3.
So you're projecting that
they're on their bye.
10, 11-ish wins?
Between 10 and 12. So let's call it 11 as a good round number.
They've got a pretty favorable schedule.
Right.
They're at Giants, Buffalo home, at Jets, Raiders home, Chargers home, Dolphins home at Denver. That's
another major game coming up here in the AFC playoff slate is seedings is potentially next Thursday night on NFL Network. Titans at Steelers. All of a sudden, Steelers are going to win this game. Are we picking this one? Steelers should win this one. I usually am very afraid, as you know,
of the letdown
when they go and play bum teams on the road. Indeed. This is the kryptonite for Coach Tomlin's team.
So you're calling the Titans a bum team?
No.
This week, the Colts.
They should be able to. I mean, the one specific matchup that they should dominate is they should be able to destroy Jacoby Brissett. The Steelers pass rush is coming on, and the Colts can't block anybody. That's bad news. But coming out of that, I think everybody's going to be feeling good. This is the best team in football. That Titans game is going to be huge for them. They are going to have to handle that one. If they do, 13-3 comes true.
Well, you projected it, and that would be 6-0.
So that means beating the Patriots week 15.
They don't have to beat the Patriots. They just have to beat the Titans.
They can only lose one more. They got two losses.
You get two. But you can only lose one. So if you
– He's 13
and one game the rest of the way.
Yeah.
But what if they win both of those games?
Oh, what happens if it's 14-2? Now what happens?
Then I will happily
– Will you?
Eat crow.
Will you happily take that?
Maybe we could lose that last game.
Because that's the big question.
Good. Do me a solid here. I think I've been pretty supportive over the years.
Will you gladly take that?
Can't you help Dave out here? The answer is no.
He will not gladly take that. Even if it means a difference between home and road in the AFC Championship, this man would rather
No, it's number one. No, if they beat the Patriots, they'll be the number one seed.
Let's say they don't.
And then it's Landry. Time. Come on, Landry. Close to laundry, and what's in the laundry? A white towel, throw it.
You can see week 16 and 17 are both wins.
Close to laundry. Okay,
comes down to that game. Comes down to that game.
No, I didn't think so.
I'm a loyalist. That's the right answer.
Chargers. No, I'm a loyalist.
No, you want 13-3.
I want it, but I would rather the Steelers.
Not true.
You don't tell me what
not
I want.
Not true. Be honest with yourself, Dave. You'd rather have 13-3 than the Steelers.
Cindy, it's you and me because money is not going.
I'll take the Chargers. I'm fine with it.
All right. Oh, so he's making the pick. You're taking the Chargers.
Yes.
I threw it.
Cindy, throw it again. Throw it the right way.
I don't want to hurt.
Yeah, go ahead. There you go.
Don't want to hurt me. I'm not going to.
I'm all man. You're not going to hurt me.
I have no.
Judges.
I am not paid by the Los Angeles Chargers.
kind of, you are.
Well, I'm paid the same by the Jags and the Chargers,
right.
I guess. I will take the Los Angeles Chargers to go into Jacksonville and continue the roller coaster ride. It's an even week after all, so they swoon at home due to the Jags.
How do buys factor in?
Well, we learned. I was curious.
Just poked a hole in your little even.
No,
theory.
Because that was still an even.
I said we will have to wait and see in week 9, and they won on the odd week, so now they're right. They're keeping with it.
But
the bye week, not a factor, as it turns out. That's right.
See that?
Got it.
It's an odd week victory.
Got it.
All right. You know what? You can.
I'm poo-pooing it.
Hug your fancy numbers. Go ahead. Hug them. I want you to hug them. That's you.
You don't touch my computer. You don't touch my computer.
Something weird's going on down there. You know, with
what do you think it is?
I really love that defense. I think that the Chargers certainly need this one, or else my entire theory about them rallying and still stealing
goes
the AFC West goes out the window. This is a big one for the Chargers. Off of the bye, I think they get it right. They'll get it done. Cindy, why do you say the home team wins this one?
Well, I think that for the most part, if you look at what the Jacksonville Jaguars have not allowed people to do, it's throw the ball. And Phillip Rivers, in order to be most effective, typically he needs to be able to run the ball, and they need to be able to run the ball, and he needs to be able to throw it. So the Jags have only allowed 3 receptions of 20 or more air yards all season long. That's the least in the league, and it hasn't happened since week 5 against your Steelers.
Boy, it's crazy how good that Jags defense is.
4
specifically
touchdowns
only. Those young corners are.
Marshawn Lattimore.
They're so loaded up front.
Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean
that. I'm sorry. I'm in
thinking
wrong.
Thinking Saints.
Yeah.
By the way, we dug in on Ike and Maurice both weighed in on the podcast earlier this week. Very funny and insightful stuff about what NFL players say to each other to get them so upset, and they were not wrong about Jalen Ramsey, and because Jalen Ramsey has since said what he was saying to AJ Green.
You're trash. You're soft. You're trash.
But it's really funny, and you should go back and listen to that stuff.
I wish that I could get Jalen Ramsey mic'd up. That would be like the best, because if you talk to him in real life, he's not like different. You know, like he'll talk and talk and talk and talk, and he's actually like real smart and real interesting. Yeah. I don't know. I found it to be like really cool.
I like those teams that have a lot of mirth in the locker room, and it seems like the Jags do. Calais Campbell's a delightful fella.
Oh, but like whatever he says is just kind of funny. He sounds like
true.
The Cookie Monster.
Yeah, he does have the cheat code. Well, that's funny anyway.
Like Ed Ogeron a little bit. But like he like a little Cookie Monster. Like it's hard to kind of – he's so nice, too. It's hard to...
We like the show. It. Our pal Dennis Padua does these for us every week, and this is a mascot matchup there. See Joey Bosa and...
Lenny Fournette.
And Len Fournette going head-to-head. Any chance Maurice tried to make a case that the Jaguar, the literal Jaguar, would have a chance against a lightning bolt because the Jaguar hides in the trees and jumps on its prey.
But a lightning bolt and tree would be like fall out of the tree.
That's what occurred to me, but Maurice stood fast and said the Jaguar would be able to surprise the lightning bolt.
As fast as a Jaguar is.
I think a lightning bolt's a little bit faster.
I think the lightning bolt's a little bit faster than the
Because I tried to lay it out, so the lightning bolt's looking around for, where'd that guy go? Where'd that Jaguar go? Gotcha from behind lightning bolt. I don't know, though. I don't buy Maurice's logic on that one.
I don't understand.
Cindy's thinking about it.
No, I'm going to stop thinking about it because it's not worth it.
Next up. Ooh, this is a big one for two teams that have surprised so far this year. The Bills are hosting the Saints. Tell us more, MVP.
All right, we have an episode of Lawson's Creek. Cam Jordan accuses LaShawn of acting super shady when he breezes right by him despite having just locked eyes for upwards of 10 seconds. After missing another assignment, Shaq Lawson fears he won't be allowed to throw down this weekend, ruining any chance of linking up with Kamara, his main squeeze. Mr. Breeze announces a last-second quiz on projectiles, hoping to catch the slackers in the back of the field off guard.
I love the good Charlotte sound track as well.
Yeah, that is,
it is ideal.
Good job, Emma.
Excellent stuff. By the way, I meant to tell you the Chargers win that game in Duval County, 24-16.
I have 24-19 the other way.
I have no idea. This game, the Saints and Bills, is super hard to read here. I don't fully believe
because
in
it's two
team.
Teams that we really didn't believe in at the start of the season. So we're
don't
trying to still figure out what they are.
Recency bias when it comes to the Bills.
All right, Cindy Freeland, Saints, Bills, choose.
Who day? I'm picking the Saints.
I threw it right at you.
Got two of them there.
Got peppered there by red flags. Money, tell us why you're taking the home team here.
It's close, and I'm taking the home team. I mean, that's really what it is. I think it's that close. If it were in the Superdome, I'd take the Saints. It's in Buffalo. I take the Bills. It's outdoors. We know that Breeze likes to be on the carpet a heck of a lot more than outside. Buffalo's undefeated at home. I think Tyrod Taylor's underrated because his stats aren't gaudy. You know, when you see, Tyrod, last in passing, last in yards. It's not what he's supposed to do. He's not supposed to throw it around the yard. You know, he breaks out of the pocket, you know, on critical third downs and gets those first downs using his feet, rushes for touchdowns. I'm not going to say that Shady McCoy's going to have a huge game, but I just feel like it's coming, right? It feels like it's coming for him to have that breakout 180-yard, two-touchdown game.
I think Shady's going to have a big game.
I hear that. And also, let's not sleep on the fact that Kelvin Benjamin has arrived. He didn't dress on Thursday night against the Jets, and he doesn't have to be targeted 10 times to be a factor in that offense. Obviously, he's a new addition. He's a cherry on top. So if he can contribute at all and be a factor in the red zone, then that makes him all the better.
Getting Charles Clay back most likely.
Yeah,
as
they're getting Clay back.
Great. So some more.
Zay Jones, Deontay Thompson had touchdowns last week, so they kind of have weapons.
That's
almost a full complement of weapons for Taylor if they do want to throw, but they don't. That's not what they're going to want to do. They're going to want to milk clock, play great defense.
Saints defense has allowed tied for the most 20-plus rushes in the NFL.
Ooh.
Good nugget.
Yeah,
tasty
big one
little
for,
snack
big,
right
big
there.
Day for Shady.
So it could be a way to get Shady.
But the thing that is hard to get past, and I don't know if younger fans can have an easier time doing this, but, you know, for most of our lives, if a team gets whipped by a bad team, then that's an indication that they're not a very good team themselves. In today's wonky NFL, with week-to-week results, you know, last week shouldn't overly inform what you think is going to happen in the coming week.
It. No recency bias.
But the Bills, I mean, the Jets whipped them. The Jets shamed them.
They
and it has no impact this week, I think.
Jets aren't that bad. I know it's another one of those teams that we thought was going to be terrible and tank the season for Sam Darnold, and they're pretty good. You know, Josh McCown's been pretty good, and you cannot underestimate or you can't understate the impact that overstate the impact that Jamal Adams has had on that defense for the Jets. But Buffalo's also pretty good. You know, I don't think this is the standard, you know, 5-3, 4-2 kind of start for Buffalo that just nosedives at the end of the season.
I could absolutely see it going that way.
So you heard Richie Incognito's statement saying after the game that, like, he hated playing on Thursdays, that all players hate playing on Thursdays. I think that part of what you're also – like, he's pretty I'm going to say the word, like, open, right? He kind of, like, I think part of it is, like, you know, that was a game where they didn't have their, like, minds right. I mean, I wasn't in their locker room. I'm not, like, reporting this or anything. But some of these clues we're seeing from players, like, you know, people don't usually say that unless they're, like, comfortable having said that with Sean McDermott, who's willing to deal people.
Maybe.
You've seen McDermott deal people.
Short trip from Western New York. I would maybe be able to appreciate that more if it was some sort of
short week.
They got jammed with having to go cross. Whatever. I hear you. And maybe that will be proven true. Like, that was just a weird blip of a week for them, for the Bills. And now they're back on track.
I mean, even if Calvin Benjamin didn't suit up, like, you had other injuries. You had, you know, you're playing with your, like, Thompson was playing not because, like, they were trying out something new, but it was needed from injuries and, you know, people being gone. So, you know, you get Charles Clay back, who was their number one target before he got hurt. These other weapons that are kind of the surefire Tyrod Taylor thing. You add Kelvin Benjamin, who we saw play a ton in the slot in Carolina, and his big body in the slot against the Saints linebackers, which is the weakest part of their great defense. That could be a good matchup to exploit.
All right. Well, I hear you, and it sounds like you've just made a pretty powerful case for Buffalo. I'm taking the Bills at home, 23-20 in that one. By the way, go ahead.
Oh, look at that. We both did it. I just pulled up their schedule. They lose this one, and yeah, it could be your standard second half of the season. Mm-hmm. Buffalo Bill nosedive at Chargers, at Chiefs, Patriots at home. Their next three. They get the Colts once, and then they get the Pats and Dolphins twice.
I want an answer here and now for both of you as we go off on a little tangent here. It's not a game we're picking, but you mentioned Jamal Adams, and I said this. I don't know if I've ever mentioned this. I've never been employed as a scout.
No.
However, I did love Jamal Adams coming out, and I thought that was the obvious pick, certainly for the Bears. That was the guy that the Bears should have taken there. They took Mitchell Trubisky, and people are feeling good about young Mitchell right now. Do you say 5 years, 10 years from now, will the Bears regret that? I start with you, Cindy. Should they have taken Jamal Adams, or does Mitchell Trubisky work out? What a weird game. Brett Hundley and Mitchell Trubisky in the proud 100-year-old rivalry.
I think it's like apples to, you know, squares comparison, right? Because the Bears defense is good. It's not like they're like really lacking on defense. And so you're putting Mitchell Trubisky in this situation where he's got to overcome a defense that's just super porous and letting people score every single drive. I think it's more, you know, option one and option 1A, and
the bigger lament would be Deshaun Watson,
right? Like you can't, like, you have to pick which quarterback, right? Not
I never heard any buzz with Deshaun to Chicago.
No, that he would be. It seemed like everybody was settled on Trubisky being the first quarterback taken. But that'll be the lament if there is one,
right? It'd be very hard to pick that.
It's hard to figure out what Trubisky is. They don't ask him to throw the ball ever, really. I mean,
who wins that game?
I think the Bears win that game.
Bears.
You have the Bears as well, Cindy.
Mm-hmm.
I was swung and missed on that one. I thought, okay, the bye week, an extra week to work with
Matt
Mike
Flynn.
McCarthy.
They are the Green Bay Aaron Rodgers. They're not the Packers.
You remember when
they
Matt
are
Flynn
the Green Bay Rodgers.
Detroit? Oh, wait, is that just me?
I suddenly feel Flynn'd. Mike McCarthy is a Pittsburgh guy, so I root for his success generally, but boy, I feel like he's suddenly nude.
I'm not worried about that. All I think this does is jack up the price that Aaron Rodgers will re-sign for. It may have been 30 before. Now you're staring down 32. And you know what? Every single one of those shareholders will be like, sign off, co-sign into it.
Emma VP tells me we're running short on time.
Okay,
keep going.
So let's
get to the
move
next
on
thing.
Here. Emma VP, what's next for us? Oh, it's the Texans and the Rams.
Yes, we have an episode of Gossip Girly.
Things get real in L.A. County when varsity superstar Todd Gurley ditches a clingy clowny to dance by himself and watches everyone else falls all over him. Aaron Donald drags Tom Savage publicly as he suspects the QB is spreading rumors to the line of scrimmage, pointing at him and mumblings to his buddies. After weeks of hookups, Goff and Kupp go for a long drive to further test their chemistry.
Excellent MVP, Matt Money Smith. Texans, Rams in the Coliseum. Choose.
Rams.
No one's going to do it?
No, come on.
All right. I just thought it would be fun if somebody took
the Rams.
The 7-2 Rams, huh?
The Rams are not putting their foot off the pedal, right? Like, you saw that in, I mean, at the Giants. 51 points. They didn't need to beat them that badly. So,
you know what? It's easy to play snob. And snob. I'm going to play snob.
You a snob.
Do it once. Do it once. To finish the season one time, Bills. Do it one time, Saints. Do it one time, Rams. And then I'll, you know, continue this role.
It's fair because
the half a season. Chiefs.
Their back half is not
so
easy.
All you have to look at is the Texans O-line. They're just going to get, like, it's very hard for them to.
Sure.
Like, and that to me is the biggest, I mean.
I got the Rams 21-14 in this one. But, you know, okay. The thing that, even though it didn't look very good last week, again, the week-to-week results of the NFL, and let's not put too much stock in what happened last Sunday.
But you do have to see play calling, because play calling tendencies, you know, play calling, I mean, like, look, you know, here's my my little, like, staying woke again here. So the Rams, so Sean McVay and Ben McAdoo have the same agent. So you don't usually see coaches with the same agents just clobber each other. It's not so nice, but whatever.
Play
calling, staying aggressive.
Little nugget for the Rams. 5-0 outside of L.A., 1-2 in Los Angeles.
Weird. But then again, you know, he's 7-2 and all that. They should win this one. But, of course, let's not forget Cooper Kupp's drop in the end zone. Think about how we'd be talking about them and how we'd be talking about the Seahawks right now. That is a question quickly, too. Sorry, MVP. We'll get to the last game in a second here. But the Seattle Seahawks, take stock in them right here and now. Is that the – Where are they? Where are they in your hierarchy of NFC teams?
So I actually have them ending up. So the difference between the Rams and the Seahawks maybe comes down to that dropped end zone pass. I have them, you know, 53%, 47% winning the division. I actually have the Seahawks coming out on top by just a smidge.
And by the way, I'm sorry to be a curmudgeon again. That's who's going to win the division. I'm sorry. It's exciting that the Rams, and I think the Rams go to the playoffs, but the Seahawks are going to end up winning the division.
That's what I have. That's what my model has. And part of that, I mean, look, it just kind of came across that Earl Thomas is not expected to play tonight.
Uh-oh.
And that would be a big, not against, I mean, against
I knew it
Cardinals,
was
it's not
against Drew Stanton.
But going forward, if he doesn't play anymore, you know, Richard Sherman has also been appearing on the injury report. He's supposed to play tonight. If going forward, you know, that's a pretty key piece. You'll have to see how healthy
this defense
is.
For sure. He is the Jenga piece, the non-QB Jenga piece of all the NFL, as we learned a year ago.
But if left tackle acquisition Dwayne Brown can take a little bit of pressure off of Russell Wilson and transfer it back into, instead of Russell Wilson having to do everything and using those explosive plays on first down, because that's where they're happening, is first down. Huge passes, huge rushes by him, leads the league in rushing yards. If they can change it so he gets a little less pressure and those explosive plays are upside as opposed to the, you know, what they rely on, then that will be the difference between them ending up, you know, second in the division and sneaking into the playoffs, or going to, you know, number two, probable number two seed in the playoffs.
I'll tell you something real quick about the Seahawks.
Let me see something.
First of all, fantasy. Random fantasy thing. A guy who I thought would be good, and I think he's about to take off. CJ Procise. Watch out.
Well, is he healthy? Because I called for that in the summer.
I did too.
I did a whole game theory on it in the summer.
Oh,
I did.
Look what I've stumbled into.
Now listen,
we got another game to get to.
Also, 13-3. How mean-spirited.
I think you've been biting off me because I also did one on Jamal Adams back in July.
Now you're biting
him. You know who else is about to break out here? Theo Riddick.
You know who else is about
Theo
to break
Riddick,
out?
You watch Ameer Abdullah fumble the ball away a couple of times on Monday night. Got to sit him down. Who's going to take over those touches on at least third downs? Theo Riddick is dangerous. And by the way, the reason I brought this all up is so I could tell you this, Cindy.
Oh, gosh.
The Detroit Lions are about to ascend here. They are going to be good. You watch. That's not a bad team. They're going to be in the fight at minimum for a playoff spot. I don't know if they'll get there, but go ahead and look
She doesn't care. She wants a playoff win.
Right. Like, I would just like a win.
Just a playoff win
in her life.
You know
what's weird about this? Is about the Lions is that everybody of you say, like, what are the saddest teams? You know, who would you not want to be a fan of?
Every Lions fan watches like this.
I know, but people nationally don't put the Lions in that category, weirdly. There's no reason why we don't all know that the Lions are would be a painful
heartbreak
team to be rooting for. Everybody knows Browns and Jets and the usual suspects, but nobody mentions the Lions. But reminder, never a Super Bowl. How many title games have they played in the last 51 years?
I'm not 51. I have no idea.
You have
We've
no
been
idea.
To the playoffs twice, like, since.
Ask her how many playoff wins they have in her lifetime.
In my lifetime.
Zero.
Goose egg.
Zero playoff wins in four decades.
You
I'm not 40.
You're not 40. I'm just saying. I'm rounding. I'm not going to say 33 or whatever it is.
You weren't alive for the Eric Kramer housing the Cowboys?
So, I mean, look, there.
Oh wait, you're right.
There is a faulty.
I forgot about that.
I would like to.
I forgot about that.
There's a faulty Wikipedia article that lists me as being born in 1978. This is a lie. I was born in 1982. I'm 35. I'm proud of my 35-ness, but I'm not going 38. I'm not ready to do that.
That's no, that Kramer. Did that Kramer team win, or did they blow it at the end?
They whipped somebody one week.
And then the next week.
I may have been alive for it, but like,
that's right.
Like when I'm five is when I can really start.
I think they destroyed the Cowboys, and then they got four the following week? I don't remember exactly. Yeah,
I just want to be alive and like.
And now I can't remember. That predates Kramer with the Lions.
Well, there was the Mitchell. There was the Mitchell season. They lost to the Eagles, though, right? That was the first week.
Right.
Or did they beat somebody before they faced?
And then Kramer goes to Chicago in the mid-90s.
Right.
Has a nice year, too.
Ends up breaking all their passing records.
With Wani, even. Or was that with Ditka? Well, all right. Now I'm getting – now we're going down the
– No. Zero.
Yeah, I think it's
zero. Lost wild card, lost wild card, lost wild card, lost wild card, lost wild card.
I think, yeah, right.
Yeah, 90, let's see, the Eric Kramer season, he never went to the playoffs. It was Scott Mitchell that lost the wild card twice.
I'm telling you, first of all, two truths dispelled. One, I'm not anywhere near 40 yet. Come on, I'm 35.
Oh, no, you're right. I should have never doubted you.
Who
did? 1991, 12-4, they win the divisional. And they lose in the conference.
Again.
Now I'm rooting for whatever website published your wrong age. That's how it works, Cindy. See? Root against my 13-3. Set 47-year-old Cindy.
I should actually tell people I'm older because they'll be like, wow, you look so
That's
young.
Right, see? I've heard that tack. Yeah. All right.
Yeah,
one more.
Hold on. Just because people are scratching their heads, Shaq, and this is a chance to celebrate you, hammered the Cowboys 38-6 in the divisional round.
God, that would be nice to see.
Made it to the conference championship and got absolutely wrecked by the Redskins, 41-10.
Nice. Love
I think what's most important is that I was right.
Check
called it. Called the Cowboys.
Yeah,
called
that's
Kramer.
Nice. Why can't you be
well
happy
done.
For
Listen,
me, Cindy?
Well
I'm,
done.
I'm happy for you.
Where's my parade already?
I'm,
all right.
I'm happy for you. But, like, you've had Super Bowls, plural, in your lifetime and, like, amazing. You've been lucky to be a fan of such a great team. So
I watched the
I
Steelers win a Super
somehow.
Bowl in Detroit once. How about that? You can share in that.
Catch me outside. How about that?
I was all there all sorts. I was right in Detroit celebrating. So, in a way,
you
can bask in that reflected glory if you wish.
Not really sure how that transitive property works.
I don't know how it works either.
Detroit's not fun.
Tell us about.
Oh, it's fun, but it's cold.
Tell us about the Dolphins and the Panthers, won't you, Emma VP?
All right, we have an episode of My Sue Called Life. McCaffrey tries to put the moves on Sue, but gets utterly denied in front of his peers, leading him to believe that Ndamukong doesn't like him like that, or frankly at all. Tired of being ganged up on by Davis and Kuechly, Cutler decides to confront the bullies face-to-face and kindly asks that they stop picking on him. A game of truth or dare gets out of hand when Graham Gano ends up taking a live snap under center.
Excellent, excellent. I like all these genres. Are you almost out of genres?
Yeah,
there's a lot of genres out there.
Oh,
I haven't done
it.
Like sci-fi or action, thriller. You know, there's tons of stuff.
Okay. True crime.
We did true crime. Didn't
oh,
we?
Yeah.
Didn't we do
we
a
did
true
horror,
crime?
Horror movie.
A horror, I guess, yeah.
True crime's going to be creepy.
Can you do like all in? Can you do like a Dateline
version? I don't know if you're
version?
Actually. I don't know how you're going to do true crime.
And with a Keith Morrison voice, and we can awkwardly lean against things.
But the people had another. Thing.
You've reached your destination. Or have you?
Mm.
Or have the Lions seen the last of. All right, Cindy Freeland, I believe it's your choice here. Miami Dolphins, Carolina Panthers. choose.
I'm going to pick the Cats over the Finns, but by a little bit.
I want to make sure that's my pick here. I think that's my pick.
I got the Panthers.
I want to confirm it.
I do too.
I've got it. I've got it.
But close.
Money, explain yourself. Why are you taking the Panthers?
I like watching Cam be Cam again. You know, they're letting him run around. He's rushing for touchdowns, almost 100 yards on the ground, and that's what he needs to do. I mean, that's what makes Cam so dangerous and one of the bigger nightmares for opposing defensive coordinators. He's not a pocket passer that's going to spread it around.
Matt Burke's not scared.
He's Matt Burke better be scared because Cam's going to – it's just – it's impossible to contend with that. The guy is not he's not Tyrod Taylor. He's 6 foot six and 260 pounds.
And it's funny because Shula was always pretty good about well, actually, as we talk about the Dolphins, Shula's son has been pretty good about using dispatching his guys in the proper way, which is to say he cut Cam Newton loose when a lot of other OCs out there were kind of like, yeah, let's pull back the QB. We can't let the franchise go down with injury. For better or worse, this is how Cam Newton must play. You cannot do that with Tom Brady or Drew Brees. You can't. To some extent, I don't know how you would coach. I'm now going to weirdly bring Ben Roethlisberger into this, but on some level,
weirdly,
I don't know how Todd Haley and Ben Roethlisberger can create these situations.
They should probably look to Jim Bob Cooter and Matthew Stafford.
Well, getting him out of the pocket is what I'm getting at a little bit. No, but the ability to move him around a little bit and let him extend plays, that's the problem with Roethlisberger, is the little three-step drops, quick reads, all that. Oh, that's not
him. What he does.
And it's the same thing with not the same skill set, but what Cam Newton needs to do, this idea that Christian McCaffrey was going to take all the load off of Cam Newton. Well, you're not going to win games if you try to play that way. Cam Newton is an unstoppable force who's going to the Hall of Fame, and it's weird that even in their own building, somehow they got a little sidetracked from that reality, that they have one of the most distinct talents in the history of pro football, and they need to let him be cut loose. I think Curtis Samuel helps him out in this endeavor this week. I think he gets his first NFL touchdown. 21-20, they get by in a squeaker at home over the Dolphins. And by the way, it could potentially be a very ugly uniform matchup. If they wear
turquoise.
If they wear their teal jerseys and the Dolphins wore their turquoise pants, let's just hope there's a black and white setting.
Not a blue-green.
All right, listen. Matt Money Smith.
Good stuff.
Travel safe. Hit it well on the 17th green. We hope you can sneak on out there. Take your pitching wedge on the plane with you just in case.
That'll go over well.
Well, do it. You see,
just use it as a cane.
That would be weird. You can bring all your sticks, but if you bring just one, that might
I'm going to stick on the 17th.
Why are you bringing just the one club here? Like, I listen. Well, see, Sawgrass was $580. So, Matt Money Smith, an exciting one, I think,
Let's
potential
hope.
For a great game.
Let's
Chargers
hope.
And the Jags. We'll look forward to that one. Listening to him on the radio calling that one. And Cindy Freeland, we'll look forward to seeing you on
pick 'em.
Game day morning? Game day football.
Game
day morning
Thursday
is the name
football.
Of the program. And then, of course, before that, you'll watch her on Pick 'em along with Matt Money Smith. And around the NFL fellas and Move the Sticks and all those guys, Ike Taylor, Maurice Jones, we're going to be in there.
Yeah,
it's
going
to be a great show. You, I almost did it, but I resent you playing it before. I'm like, okay. Here we go. Okay.
There it is.
All right. So with all that being said, I think we've said it all, really.
Nothing left to say.
Except we could just say goodbye here.
Who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters.
Matt Money! I love that. You know what? Now we have to have Dick Banks make a new theme song about Ghostbusters.
Matt
Money Smith. We'll talk to you next week, everybody. It's been a thin slice of heaven.